Welcome to the Ask Brian Podcast Radio Show, where you'll hear from some of the most successful founders and CEOs of businesses and startups, sharing their best advice for success and even some stories on how their mistakes actually make them even more successful. Now, here are your hosts, Brian and Tracy.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHS 1220 in 98.1 FM. And as all of you should know by now, but some of you may not have listened to our show before. I can't believe there's somebody out there. But each week, every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. PST, we interview somebody that either A, is a founder of a company, has created a new business type venture, as an entrepreneur, or has a skill that they can teach. They can teach you Facebook advertising, what is SEO, things of that nature. Each week, we try to either somehow improve business skills to you by either having case studies or specific subjects. And this week is no different. But the name of the show is Ask Brian, and everybody wants to know why Brian is spelled with an E, because most people say, I was growing up, I had two or three friends of mine, B-R-Y-I-N, B-R-I-A-N. Nobody spells it B-R-I-E-N unless they were the O'Briens down the street who were going to the pub because of Ireland. And nothing against Irish people. I love Irish people. But there are a lot of O'Briens out there. But Tracy, our expert in E's, is she there?
Of course, I'm not going to miss the opportunity to showcase my expertise, if you will. And by the way, I was just thinking, because I just happened to know our guest personally today, and I was just thinking about what an exceptional human being he is. I mean, all our guests are really great human beings, but it's really awesome. So today we not only have an expert, but we have an exceptional human being. So more to be revealed on that after we give accolades to our fabulous engineer. Hey, Jen.
Hi, Tracy.
You and I are going to be the only estrogen represented today, so we might as well just go ahead and get that out of the way now.
That's not the E we were looking for, but go ahead.
Capital E.
And it's probably going to be some seriously heavy sports talk going on. I'm just warning you. So another little teaser for our guests coming up. But speaking of our guests are definitely experts, and we are so excited to bring them to the Ask Brian audience because they have invested so much time, energy, and resources into building their careers. And, you know, if you follow the formula that it takes 10,000 hours to be qualified as an expert, and if you need the math breakdown on that, I have it memorized, by the way.
So I need that. I need that breakdown, please. I'm very bad at math.
Okay, you just like to make me sweat because you know I do not like the mathematical part of it. But here I go. 40 hours a week, approximately 50 weeks a year over the course of 5 years would qualify you for 10,000 hours. However, we know because we are entrepreneurs and we know because of all the experts that have been on our show that are entrepreneurs that you spend way more than 40 hours a week, especially when you have a startup. So we're guesstimating the Ask Brian formula is reduced down to 3 years. But a lot of our guests that we have on our show have decades of experience, and that's what you're going to experience today. And with that being said, our goal, our missions, our values, the core of what we do on the show, even though we do have a ton of fun making fun of Peter, we...
No. There we go.
I know. I was like, I might have been able to slip that in. I don't think anyone noticed. But he did. But no, it's all about education. And we are our purpose, our focus. We really want to educate people on how to just basically just get a leg up on being in creating and growing and scaling a successful business, because that involves so many different areas and just outside of expertise. I mean, team building, leadership, payroll, finances, there's just so much that goes into building a business. So we are here to educate and shortcut that learning curve whenever possible. And of course, that means that we are just flat out enthusiastic about people growing and building businesses. Right, Peter?
Excitement!
Go Islanders! Oh, sorry.
I had to throw that in there.
Okay. We have never had so many fun teases to our guest that is coming on. I think he's actually a little bit of a celebrity, right? So maybe just in our minds. I don't think he thinks of himself as one, but I know we kind of do, and we're pretty fond of him. So before we bring him on, Peter, what is my most favorite E?
Well, it's from that show, Grease Lightning, but I don't know what it is about that. Grease Lightning is something, I forget.
Well, it's not.
Jen, do you know what it is?
Lightning that's something.
I do.
We are electrifying, and I just think that is the most fabulous E there is. So, yes, we are electrifying, and so is this show. And here we go. Peter?
Thank you very much. That's some introduction. I hope he realizes what that introduction was. Anyway, our guest is...
We're sending him a bill for it later, by the way. He's already agreed to pay.
All right. So we have our guest today is Neil Smith. Neil, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I've been listening very intently.
Good, because there's a quiz afterwards. We didn't tell you that part.
Okay. Exactly. All right. Well, I'm taking notes.
Good. So, first of all, not everybody knows who you are. And I know you have a background in sports as well. But besides that, people don't know who you are business-wise. So can you go over a little bit about your business background? And if you need to tie in the sports angle, that's fine. But people don't know who you are.
Well, you know, my background has been in professional hockey for going all the way back to 1980. But I'm very proud of the fact that after my NHL career in management was over, I went into broadcasting, which a lot of people do in sports. But then I also owned my own minor league hockey team, which was a way to make a small fortune because you start with a large fortune. And after that, I got involved with the financial services business. And I'm very proud that I went and took the Series 7 and Series 66, which are very long, long, long exams. They take all day long to do them. And I passed on my first try. So I have my financial licenses. I don't give financial help to anybody, but that got me the opportunity to work for UBS, the financial firm. And I currently am employed by them as a representative at the arena that they have the naming rights to, which is UBS Arena. So I help in a number of different ways with them, but because of the notoriety that I have in hockey, they like me at the games so that I can meet clients and employees. And, you know, hopefully that adds a little bit to the experience of going to a game. So those are the main business things that I've been doing. The other thing, of course, that Tracy knows about and can speak to is that back in May and June, I started the venture into podcasting. And we're going on to our 10th episode coming up, and we're feeling very, very good about that. It's been a lot more complicated than I thought it would be when I didn't know anything about it. But the upside is quite good, and all it's going to take is it's going to take a lot of work and being enthusiastic, as you were saying before the show, before you had me on, that enthusiasm and passion are the best ways to grow any career or any business. If you don't have a passion about something, you're going to find it very difficult to grow that business or that career.
Absolutely. And again, as part of that, and the way I see it is, if you enjoy what you do, it's very easy to keep on spending time and effort at it, right? So if you like it, and that's why I tell people when you're picking a career, pick something you like. I mean, it's not always about, okay, yeah, I got to pay the bills. That's true. But if you like it, it's not a job anymore. Now it's just something you love. And that's what I tell people. If you love it, do it.
Well, I've told people, chase your passion. Do not chase money. If you chase money, you'll never be happy. If you chase your passion, you'll end up making a lot of money and also enjoying what you're doing because you're passionate about it. When I started in the NHL, I worked for free for the first year scouting. And then the next year, which was 81-82, I actually got paid a whopping $10,000. And that was with a college degree. But I was in the NHL. I was working for the New York Islanders. I was in heaven doing that. Even when I wasn't making any money, I was still in heaven. Just the fact that I could be part of the NHL made me feel like that. So again, going back to your point about doing things you like, I reminded myself many nights I would be in Madison Square Garden in the early 80s, and I'd be saying, how cool is this? You're getting paid to go to a game that everybody else is paying to go to. So that was really cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, a couple of questions. So again, we're going to kind of keep the hockey part out, although you brought up one point, and that was, so you actually bring clients to UBS because of your hockey fame or your knowledge, or what is the rationale, and are you able to convert them into your clients?
Well, the role is actually to make the experience of being invited by UBS to the game and going to the game and meeting me something that's memorable. And the reason why meeting me would be memorable for anybody is if you're a hockey fan and you're in New York, you know who I am because I won the Stanley Cup building the New York Rangers. I was president and general manager of New York Rangers when we won it in 1994. Just for some background, the New York Rangers have not won the Stanley Cup since 1940. That's 4-0. And they won it in 94 with me running it and then have never won it again. So in 84 years, they've only had one Stanley Cup, and I was the guy that put that together. When I was with the Islanders in 81 and 82, they won the Stanley Cup both years. And then I was general manager for a short time of the Islanders in 2006. So I'm really well known in hockey and especially in New York. So that's why when they come to a game, you normally don't get to meet someone who's been involved in the sport you're looking at. It would be like for baseball fans, if you were to go to a baseball game and Joe Torre of the Yankees was there to say, hey, how are you, and join the game, or you were someplace where, you know, that somebody that actually had been there and done that is up there talking to you and hopefully, as I said, making it an even richer experience.
So you mentioned that you did sportscasting as well. So sportscasting, and now you're doing podcasting. Was there a tough transition to go from a sportscaster to a podcaster?
Well, no, I mean, podcasting is your own, you own it, and nobody can tell you that they don't want you anymore because they don't like the color of your hair or the fact that you are getting older and they want somebody younger, or there's not all the politics that goes into TV. And so it's much more, or much less stress. There's much more stress when you do TV. The other thing about radio and podcasting is that you're not in a rush to jam, you know, 10 pounds of feathers into a 5-pound. And in on radio, you can take the time to explain your point and make it thorough. And you can also do that with a podcast. The podcast is obviously the most relaxed of the three mediums, but it gives you the opportunity to delve into things and really make your point properly. Unlike in TV, you know, you're at somebody else's beck and call. You're at their the mercy of the producers and the people above you, and you're also trying to jam 10 pounds of feathers in a 5-pound bag because they're not giving you much time to get it out, and you have to basically jump over each other a lot of times when you're doing television studio work. And when you're doing podcasting or radio, you get more time to explain your point and make the point a lot more thorough than when you're on television.
So it seems like the transition is pretty easy to get into podcasting. What was the reason that you did get into podcasting?
You know, it had been quite a while since I had been able to give my opinions on things in hockey, and knowing that I'm respected, at least in hockey, as a person who knows things and that people might want to hear from, I decided to do it. I was, at the same time, my partner, Vic Morin, had been laid off by Disney after 35 years at ESPN producing hockey shows and hockey games. So he was the perfect guy to do a podcast with, because where I'm the hockey guy, he's actually a TV guy and a producer himself. So it made a great combination. And I thought, well, if I'm ever going to do this, I got to do this now. So that's what made me decide to do it. And it's a lot of fun. And it makes you, to be honest with you, it makes me happy. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And what is that your current business venture? Or do you have another current business venture? Because my understanding was you did work some type of company that deals with autographs or something, or authentic stuff.
No, that was Barry Mizell. No, I
my two things are, I'm a UPS employee representing them at the UBS arena, and then I have my own podcast. But I'm, again, I do a lot of interviews and different things because of my background in the NHL.
Awesome. And regarding this podcast, are you looking to just a podcast to so you have an open forum to speak to, or are you trying to make this into a business? And if so, how are you doing that?
Well, we really want to make it into a business, and that's where Produce Your Podcast comes into it, because we have contracted them to represent us and also to help us produce these shows. And they've been around a long time and really know this business inside out, which I don't. I got to say, I was a rank amateur at this when I started, because podcasting is so different. But we've been able to, you know, have Tracy and her people, Tammy in particular, and other people that work for them help us get through it. It's called NHL Wraparound. A wraparound goal in hockey is, you know, coming out from behind the net and wrapping around. And it's also in TV, it's a wrap. And so we thought that there was a couple of different meanings here to have that as the name of the podcast. But we are looking to make it into a business. We've been very lucky to have some sponsorship early, and that has paid some of the bills. You know, luckily I've got a lot of friends that want to help, and so that's been good. But I would like to get to the point, or we would like to get to the point, where advertisers and sponsors want to be part of the show, because it's getting out there and getting to a lot of different ears, and people are downloading and following and subscribing and so on. So it's not something that we're just going to do for a while and have as a hobby. It's something that we're very serious about making into a business.
So is the content related to insider information? And by the way, I didn't mean that financially. I meant as a, you know, you're giving me the scoop that John Tavares will leave the Toronto Maple Leafs or something like that. What exactly is the show, basically, the content?
Well, the content is, you know, we have a guest, which is one guest that comes on in the middle of the show. We don't do the thing that a lot of podcast people do, which is get one guest and make them stay the whole show, so that is the show. We have different segments, and we talk about what's current in the NHL, but relating it to what has been historically done in the NHL. So in other words, if you have a player who gets a concussion, let's say, you can relate back in the past and when they started wearing helmets. Why did they start wearing helmets? I'm making this up now, but, you know, seeing coaching techniques and saying, well, that's like the guy back in the 70s did this. But it's mainly today's hockey. Talking about the content is endless, because every day everything changes. There's games every night. And so it's everything that's happening in the league and around the league, but throwing in a historical perspective. That's really important to us, is that we put a historical perspective on everything.
Wow, that's great.
So, Neil, I would love to really dig deep into the whole concept of the differences and similarities of building teams, building winning teams, and leadership in both the sports aspect and how that applies to people who are running businesses, because you have such a wealth of experience in building winning teams. And I'm just curious the insights that you could share with us on what are some of those similarities.
Well, Tracy, I think it all comes down to character. And at the beginning, and the first rule of building a good team is that the people that you put on that team have to have character. And by character, what I mean is they do what generally would be the right thing in the situation that they're given as a human being. They're just good people, and they understand the concept of a team, and that you've got to help your teammates and be there for your teammates. And I don't think it's any different in business than it is in sports. I think that if you have a bad leader at the very top, you're not going to have a successful sports team. And if you have a bad leader at the top of the business, you're not going to have a successful business, because they don't know how to hire good people, because they're not good people. They're not character people. So that's the first thing I look for, is what is the character of the individual? I mean, and then after you know that they've got character, what is their talent? How talented are they? I mean, if they're very talented but don't have character, they're not going to be of any use for you ultimately, because they're going to bring everybody down. You'd take a higher character person with less talent any day over a higher talented person with less character. So character and then talent is very important. And also, obviously, personality, which one could say is part of character, but it's really not. But a personality, so that they can get along with the group and that they fit in with the group. and they're going to be accepted. And respect is another thing. I guess that's part of character too, but they've got to show respect to the people that have been there before them, for example, or people that have more experience than they have. And that's really important, or else the team breaks down. So knowing your role within the team is really important, but that all goes into it once you've acquired the right people and then you're fitting them all together. You know, some people actually in business or in sports teams, you know, they're such a good person, you better just hire them and figure out where they're going to be later. A lot of people don't understand that concept of a good person. If you know somebody is a good person, they're talented at one particular thing, or they're a talented person and they've got character. Sometimes you can just hire them and figure it out once they're there, because they'll probably be good wherever you put them, because that's who they are. So I think that's an important tip when doing team building.
I'm curious too, and I mean, this might be a bit of a curveball question, but most of the team building and leadership, you know, up until the pandemic, you know, most people were working in offices and they had collective opportunities to have water cooler conversations and things like that. How do you think that team building may have changed with people working more remotely and virtually? And are there ways that connectivity can be done through in the same ways that you're talking about? I mean, so many things like what you're talking about is character and integrity and honesty, like, and then you add in remote work to that. It just really feels like it could make team building even a bigger challenge.
I think team building is a bigger challenge in this since the COVID and the era of Zoom and Teams and all these different things when it's remote. I don't know how you could really do well on a team if you don't personally meet the other team members. But I do think that, you know, you could still build a team and have them work remotely and have them work collectively and collaboratively, even though they're remote. And because I think that, but they do have to get together in the beginning, because the longer you let it go that they don't meet each other face to face, the harder it's going to be a team.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. Well, let's circle back to the podcast for a moment, you know, because anytime I can talk about podcasting, you know, it makes me very happy. I wanted to point out a couple of things that when you spoke about the podcast earlier, Neil, one of the things that you said when Peter was asking about it was the fact that it made you happy. And I think that that is such an important tie-in. You were speaking also earlier about, you know, chase your passion first and then the money will come. And when I think about happiness and podcasting, or when I think about just chasing your passion, it's all about like the energy that you bring to the room. So as a motivator, because you are like the quintessential motivator to have been able to take that team to win the only Stanley Cup in what, 80 something years, what is it that you think about energy and enthusiasm as a way for motivation?
I think that it's infectious, that it's a human nature to detect passion and enthusiasm in people. And if you genuinely have that, it's going to be infectious to the people around you. I know that when I go to the games at UBS Arena, I'm, you know, wearing a suit and tie because that's what I wore as a general manager of the teams, and that's sort of how I'm remembered by hockey fans. Not many people are wearing a suit and tie, which is fine, but I'm in my zone. I'm happy. I'm really happy. I'm in my element, and I've been told so many times that comes through to people, and that's what they like about me doing this role, is that they can see that I'm happy to be there, and I'm happy to talk to them, and I'm happy to be around. So I think that it's very infectious, and I think it's so important for the leader to show enthusiasm and to show the passion for what you're doing. You don't have to be happy all the time, because if you lose in business or you lose in hockey a game or a deal, and you don't have to be happy. You don't have to come in and be joking and smiling and that if we've had a crummy day. But they have to know that you're passionate, and you're passionate both ways. You're passionate not to lose, and you're passionate to win and win together and have everybody succeed together. That's so important.
It is so important. And so the flip side of that, I also want to explore, because in my professional career, I have not managed any sports teams directly, but I have produced sports networks, and I've also owned businesses that had what we shall lovingly refer to as high talent equals high ego challenges. So very talented chef, very talented artist, very talented broadcast talents. And so much goes together with the ego and the talent. And they're not always the happiest people to bring forth in a leadership capacity. Do you have any tips to share on, I guess, I don't want to say managing difficult people, because sometimes managing them can be challenging, but their talent also has a tendency to outweigh those challenges, but that can also impact the rest of the team as well. So how do you manage those types of dynamics?
Tracy, not that difficult, but go ahead.
Okay, well, thanks. I'm so glad you said that.
That was not cool.
You know, I think that people that display an ego, an irritating ego, are very insecure. And that inside of them, they're extremely insecure, and that the only way that they can make themselves feel secure about themselves is to put out this outer shell of, I'm the greatest in the world, and, you know, screw you, I don't have time for you, and all this kind of nonsense. But when they get home, they're miserable people because they really are not happy with themselves, which is hard for laymen to understand. Why would an actor or a comedian or a great sports figure be unhappy with himself? Well, you know, that's a million-dollar question, but most of the time it is because they're so competitive that they just can't satisfy themselves, because it never comes. What they wanted to get to, it never comes, because it can't come because it's astronomical where their expectations on themselves were. But I think that you've got to take that into consideration when if you're dealing, for example, with a person that's displaying a big ego. I think you have to play to the fact that why are they doing that? And you play to that, what you know deep down is behind it, because it's not about you. When somebody is arrogant or ignorant or it's not about you, it's about them. It's what's going on inside of them. So you've got to try to deal with that element of what's going on inside of them. And if you sit back and think about it, you know, a lot of people that you've met that have a big ego because they think they're such a great broadcaster, they think they're such a great personality or something. Deep down inside, they really don't think that. They are trying to display that, but they don't really believe it inside of them. So if you're not secure with yourself, it's going to come out to other people in so many different ways. But I think when dealing with difficult people, you've got to, you know what, remind yourself that it's not about you. It's all about them. It's what's going on inside of them. It's not that you're beneath them. It's that why are they having to act like this to feel secure?
Tracy, you had some more information you wanted to go over with Neil?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is this show has just gone way too fast, in my opinion. I had tons more questions that I wanted to ask, but I guess for now, what I really want to make sure is that we give our audience the opportunity to, if they want to continue this conversation or reach out to Neil and ask him any other questions that we didn't get to cover today. Neil, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you?
We have an email address on Gmail for the podcast, which is nhlwraparound@gmail.com.
Perfect. And I'm so glad you mentioned the podcast, proudly produced, of course, by Produce Your Podcast. Because we want everyone to go and check your podcast out, and it is the NHL Wraparound Podcast. And who was your first guest on that podcast, by the way?
A guy named Gretzky, Wayne Gretzky.
Never heard of him.
And
is he a good player?
He was the best ever. And he was great on the show too. He was really good, took time and really knows the league inside out still, and is a great promoter of today's hockey.
Well, we're so proud of the show. We're so proud of you and Vic as the host of the show. We're working every day to make sure that it turns to be more than just a podcast, into that business that you aspire it to be. And in addition to that, we have our own podcast as well. And so you're going to be featured on our podcast in the show notes for everybody. If you're looking for more information on the NHL Wraparound, you'll be able to find it in the show notes of the Ask Brian podcast. And of course, you can find both podcasts wherever you find or download your favorite shows. That's Apple, Spotify, iHeart, all the platforms. There's even some YouTube. If you prefer to get your podcast on YouTube, you'll find us there as well. So that is, if you're searching for it, don't forget, it's Ask Brian, B-R-I-E-N, the podcast. Okay, well, Peter, I am reluctantly turning it back over to you for the last 60 seconds.
Well, I was thinking about asking about worst trade ever made, but let's go on to other stuff.
Yeah, let's not do that.
I know how to go for the jugular. I'm a New Yorker, right?
Yeah.
We really appreciate you having you on your show. It's really a blessing to have you on. So we only have about a minute left. And so what we do want to know is, what is the biggest challenge in transitioning from hockey career into either, you know, working at USB or BBS or working, you know, on the podcast? What is the biggest challenge you've had?
My biggest challenge was mentally what to do when you're not leading the team anymore. And you're not in a position of running a team when you have such a great knowledge base and you've been successful and yet you're not asked to do it again with somebody else for whatever reason. There's a million reasons out there, you know, that happens. And I think that's what I struggled with the most, is the getting past that and getting to something that I could put passion into again. It was really hard to find that for me. But these two things that I've mentioned that I'm doing now, I'm very passionate about both of them. And I'm very enthusiastic about both of them. And I find that my days are happier as my life goes on than they were when I was sitting and bemoaning the fact that I wasn't where I wanted to be. So that's really was the biggest challenge.
Well, thanks. We certainly wish you the best. Unfortunately, the show is over. We thank you for coming on. You're listening to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHS 1220 and 98.1 FM. Over and out!
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Brian Radio Show. You can listen to us every Thursday on KTHS AM 1220 and FM 98.1 or via Facebook Live or anytime wherever you listen to your podcasts. Visit AskBrian.com to join the conversation and ask us your business questions, and we'll answer them on our next episode. That's AskBrian.com.